I'm Barnon Williams, and welcome to the launch of Wrapped Biz Trends TV, a collaborative first between Biz Community and Wrapped Creative. We're going to be looking at trends relevant to both the local and global business audiences from our uniquely Afrocentric vantage point. So our topic for today to kick us off is aptly that of Afro-optimism, or more specifically, African growth mindsets in contrast to Western growing degrowth mindsets. This is a massive trend, and it's something that has certainly been on our minds, given recent research that shows that young Africans are far more optimistic about the future in general, and artificial intelligence in particular, than young people in the global north, that is Europe and the Americas. And to help us dive into this trend and why it matters to you, I am extremely pleased to welcome our guest for today, Lee Ndube. Welcome, Lee.
Hey, thank you, Bronwyn. It's a pleasure being here. Looking forward to our chat.
Excellent. So Lee is a pioneering entrepreneur and strategist with over 15 years of experience in the ad agency and advertising space. His work has culminated in his creation of an award-winning generative AI project, which is attracting global investor interest and collaborations. And we'll get into that in a second. But to kick us off, Lee, let's come back to our topic for today, which is that of Afro-optimism. In this context of a Western world that is starting to see its future as being smaller and its place in it being very literally smaller as their populations start to decline, in contrast with this wave of African optimism despite all of our challenges. I find this so interesting. The West that has so much is so pessimistic about the future, and Africa, which has so many problems from electricity to water to all the basics, all these challenges that we have, yet we still have this greater sense of optimism. What are your thoughts on this trend? Why do you think it is important? And what other trends perhaps does this connect with?
Great question. So I think for me, it's as simple as to contextualize it for a South African person, right? Think of yourself dealing with people who feel they have nothing to lose. Because if you look at the history of Africa, I mean, it's got so much, you know, as African people will say, kuningi, it's a lot. And then you can only be optimistic about, I think, the future in that sense. So that's what then the whole notion of Afro-optimism, you know, that's how it begins. And then it's about fresh ideas, stuff that hasn't existed really, because when you also look at how saturated the world is with your conventional ideas, so there really is a niche now to hear new voices that sound more positive about the future, because Africans really have nothing to lose, I think.
Yeah, and when you see technology and you're starting from a place of lack, you see it as an opportunity. You see, how can I use this? How can I develop it? You don't see it as, how can this take my toys away from me, right?
Yes.
So from your perspective, how has this mindset and how has this insight influenced your own career and your own projects in the AI and entrepreneurial space?
So I think the answer to that is, it's this feeling and idea of coming full circle for me. Because funny enough, many, many years ago, plus 20 years ago, I wanted to become an illustrator, but I wasn't good enough technically. But I find myself in a world now where there's new technology that enables me to express my imagination, my mind, which is what I would have done as an illustrator. So we call it the reparations, basically. This is what AI is doing. It's leveling the playing field where everyone with a great idea can actually participate in this new economy. And that for me has been kind of like the journey. So working in advertising, you're in the space that's just flowing with ideas, brilliant people who think brilliantly. But the one thing I've always criticized is this scientific notion of being able to replicate success. Because what I feel about creative people, they lose interest very quickly. They move on to the next one. So I'm looking at, how do I optimize models and systems? And that's where the entrepreneurship comes in, because I want to replicate something until I hit diminishing returns. And it's something I actually learned through advertising as well. So that's how it all meshes up. But this idea that I actually don't need like big teams, I can work independently and achieve so much with the power of artificial intelligence. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not beholden to finding someone who can code or someone who can illustrate. You can be this entrepreneur of one, or as we're kind of calling it, the self-incorporated, right?
100%.
So in that same vein, can you tell us a bit about your project that has sparked interest across the world and what you're doing there in that space?
That's quite an interesting question. I'll try not make it somber. So what happened in my personal life about 3 years back, I lost my dad and I had this yearning of telling my story, you know, and I visualized it through a graphic novel called Blower Samurai because I envisioned my story captured as a hero's journey of this African samurai. But the whole plot is about this boy whose dad disappears, so he goes on a journey to find him. And that's kind of linked with my personal story, the relationship I kind of had with my dad. So to be honest with you, it was kind of like an ode, an appreciation, that kind of story. But then the moment I started doing the work, publishing it online, I just found this love on the global. This was back, I think, about 2 years or a year ago. And it just kept growing and growing and growing. And it's crazy with AI, you blink once and it's next generation tools. So I think that's kind of like where we are, where I started with a graphic novel and people were interested. And then I was like, what else could it be? Then it becomes fashion. Then it becomes other things and interest in producing it into like an animated series. Literally, there are conversations happening with global investors as we speak. Yeah.
So it started off as a story. It then turned into kind of world building, which is another one of the trends we're going to be covering on this BizTrends TV series as we go forward. And then it turned into a whole lot of opportunities for merchandising and for connections that for perhaps even international investment. So you have attracted some investor interest. What do you think makes projects like yours specifically and Africa at the moment in this intersection of technology and creativity an attractive proposition for external capital?
I mean, when you look at capital, the whole point is to generate more capital. When you look at entertainment, stories move the needle. And I think people have seen old stories to death. And Africa is the one continent that hasn't really been properly covered. And what you're finding now, I think it's this interest from global people to hear these new narratives simply because consumers love them. I'll give an example with Black Panther, for example. I mean, if you look at the wonder it's done for Marvel, it just shows you this appetite there is in looking at African stories, but reimagined. So gone are the days of Shaka Zulu. I think partly interlinked with Afro-optimism is this idea of how can we envision ourselves? How can we present ourselves differently, whether it be through science fiction or fantasy or stuff like that, which has never really happened before because stories that used to come out of Africa were based on folklore, history, like bad things happening. Whereas right now, I think we are more empowered as storytellers to like take it wherever we want, which is why I thought a blend of Japan and Africa to come up with a completely new story and aesthetics is something interesting. And the interest I've gotten actually kind of validates that I was right about that. Yeah.
Yes, I want to interrogate that just a little because there's kind of a tension there, isn't it? On the one hand, you've done a very good job of illustrating for us why the rest of the world is now interested in us, in our growth story, in our future, in the exciting things and the ideas that we have. But how do we, as creatives and as business leaders in South Africa and in Africa, make sure that those partnerships are partnerships indeed this time, rather than kind of a new form of intellectual property colonization, if you want to put it that way? Because foreign capital is so attractive, right?
Yeah.
They have money, we don't. But at the same time, how do we make sure that we're not sort of selling our baby? And I know you've wrestled with this yourself as a creator when you've been approached by people who want to put capital into your project, but it comes with some conditions. How do you balance that? How do you balance framing a new narrative for how Africa works with the rest of the world?
No, absolutely. I think the new thing we could do right now is to look at business in Africa as a platform. What have we got? We've got the numbers. Yeah. We've got young consumers. We've got this crazy adoption of new technology. Build platforms. Don't sell IP, right? Do what Netflix did. I mean, I'm more interested in who's going to build Africa's Google, who's going to build Africa's Facebook, who's going to build Africa's Netflix, simply because we do have the numbers. So I think for me, that's the difference. Then it becomes equilateral investment where you get value. It'll generate returns, but I also get a platform that I can then turn into this machine that'll generate more growth. That's how I choose to look at it. But I mean, it's one way of looking at it. But I know of guys, like I picked up a story about Viola Davis, who's formed a studio in Africa. So even when this foreign interest is coming here, the fact that they're setting up base, I even picked up a story, for example, about Idris Elba in Tanzania having talks. So it's quite interesting things, but you can see people rooting. And I think we just need to be smart now around how do we then circulate that revenue within our economies to sort of like uplift, build our own industries, or else you'll take your ideas, they get produced offshore, and you grow nothing. So build platforms.
Yeah, it's about thinking about partnerships in terms of positive-sum games rather than zero-sum games, and 100%. How we can win together. And that's, of course, a much more exciting and again, growth-orientated mindset to lean into. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about some of the partnerships you're looking at. We've heard that you are involved with perhaps an international sneaker apparel store that's interested in a collaboration. What's going on there? And how can these sorts of collaborations play out, not just for your project, but for other entrepreneurs too?
So the reality in my project, I am building a model, like I said in the beginning, a model that other people can replicate and scale. So I'm almost like patient zero, if you think about it, where if I get an idea, I'll try it. So when it comes to the sneaker project, like literally what happened was I partnered with a local guy who was supposed to put me in touch with Chinese manufacturers, and they couldn't deliver on my design. And then someone sent me a link by a Portuguese company. And when I looked them up, actually, that's like the center of manufacturing. Yeah. Like, they do really great stuff. And I so happened to have a friend who currently stays in Portugal. So I sent him to go have a look, check out the factory. And then the conversation started happening. But then again, it's also based on me bending the rules, where I'm like, look, man, I don't have bucket loads of money. I'm going to do a pre-ordering system, but I need you to meet me halfway. I'll pay you for the samples, but you need to be patient with me. And I'm not going to order in the conventional sense. No minimum orders, none of that. That's already disrupting the convention, right? So that's kind of like how we're working, negotiating great deals, getting them to give me what I want, but also working with me as an African with African circumstances.
That's amazing. So really thinking about those partnerships again from that positive sum perspective, and about seeing how you can work with and not be like just a price taker, but a collaborator. Yeah. It's, of course, a much more healthy way to deal with the rest of the world, and something that I think many South African businesses could take some lessons from. But let's get back to the more creative side of your work. We've spoken about business. Let's talk about the art side of it. This is your background. You come from a storytelling, advertising background. And in what ways has your collaborations now, not with different countries and continents, but your collaboration with technology, enabled you to tell different stories? How has AI for you helped you create more inclusive and more diverse and representative stories that speak to your story and your culture and your place in the world?
Sure.
Big question.
Big one. So let me unpack it. So I'm grateful to the industry that I'm in because people don't appreciate working and pitching ideas for a living daily. That's what I do. I hear no. But what I realized over time, I got so good at hearing no, I would think around what the barriers are. So I spend a lot of time understanding what the barriers are, and then also being close to these big spans that advertisers spend, understanding consumers. I kind of also cheated in a sense, because I knew what people were receptive to, and then I kind of positioned myself accordingly. So what it does now, it takes a guy who's really trained in how to sell ideas, in how to envision ideas, who kind of has a commercial acumen, and then you put him in the world of story, because that's my default setting. Like, I was really great with art, but then I learned other tools as I grew, and I'm bringing them back now in terms of enhancing the art, because there are guys who are 10 times better than I am, but because they don't have the network, they don't know how to put themselves out there, they don't know how to build business cases, their stories sadly won't see light of day, which is what I am actually trying to address with my project, where I can now become an enabler myself because I understand the technology, the consumers, the trends. I know how to build cases. I've learned so much in the past 2 years that I can now go back and say, here is the model. This is how it works. This is how we all plug in. And that on its own is a massive business opportunity with me, Central.
Amazing. So let's stick with that. Wearing your advertising, your ad man hat, what advice would you have for other African creators and brands who want to explore AI-generated world building and character building? How can they harness AI to create interactive, personalized animation experiences that can actually engage with audiences, with our audiences, with our African history, mythology, and value?
So the first piece of advice would be, do your research, like do due diligence, right? Create something that people love. You know, sometimes it's easy to be caught up in your own head. But if you do your due diligence, you learn the art of compromise, which is what strategy is based on. Or else we become purists and then you'll produce this thing no one actually wants to engage with, number one. But then number two, like, be so close with your target audience. It could be anyone. And if anything, we're learning through platforms like your Reddits, for example, those communities which I'm in, your Discord. There's a community for everything. Even if you wanted to create something about snail ninjas, I'm sure you'll find people interested in that. So the job now is to find your tribe, and then your vibe will attract your tribe towards you, and then you start building, right? So in an African context where you have people who've, I think, been disenfranchised, if I can put it like that, but they're bubbling with the stories that no one cared to listen to. That's like, that's gold, right? And if you can create something, and we've seen this happen before AI, we've seen it with Nollywood, where the West is saying, do this high-key production, and you have Nollywood with lo-fi production, but the stories. So at the end of the day, at the core of everything we should be doing, like, the story needs to be tight, like proper tight, because if you've got a tight story, you will have people, right? And then you starting to invest now in the technology that can make it happen, as I did. It's costly, but I'm sure you'll find help along the way as well. Yeah.
And the technology is getting cheaper. That is the amazing thing. I mean, we've seen the breakthroughs with, like, OpenAI to DeepSeek, and the trajectory there is lower, which means more accessible. But again, it also means more competition. It means, like you say, really focusing on your tribe and connecting and collecting with people that really speak to whatever that vision is that you're trying to build.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, Lee. You've been very generous with your insights and with your experience and your advice. To end off with, what is next for Afro-optimism in general, and what is next for you, Lee?
thank you for such a great question. So I'll start with what is next for me, right? I think what is next for me is continuing on the journey that I'm on, demonstrating this model. And then if it inspires someone, I think that then spreads the optimism, right? If I could get one person like me in each African state, I think that could be a great thing, because you have 50 plus visionaries and we're all working towards the same goal, right? But I think what it does then start creating this idea of how do we view ourselves as Africans, you know, how do we view entertainment? Then we can establish our own, I'm not going to call it Hollywood, but I'll just call it Afro Utopia of some sort, right? In entertainment, but which is something built by Africans for Africans. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the What, Who, When, Where, and How of Localized Trends. Please like and subscribe and follow us on Briz Trends TV. Follow Briz Community's official website and all the channels, as well as the channels of The Real Network across all your favorite social platforms. And on behalf of me, Bronwyn Williams, and my guest, Lee Ndube, and Biz Community and Rap Creative, thank you so much for watching.